Let us now delight ourselves in hearing the law of the Lord our God as we find it in Deuteronomy 5. We are so grateful for God's law, for it reflects the beauty of His character, protects us as the people of God, and points us the way to the way of living that glorifies Him. Deuteronomy chapter 5 will begin with verse 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, that as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Let us rejoice in the law of God by singing in response from number 444 in the back of our songbook. 444, stanza 7. Our scripture reading for this Lord's Supper morning is from the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, from 1 through 21. John chapter 10, from 1 through 21. Let us hear the word of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? We'll read that far in the Gospel of John. We turn to the Lord now and we pray for his blessing on our worship service. Beloved, there is something truly beautiful about being able to say in truth, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23 is probably one of those parts of Scripture that is better known than almost any other. So many people know the words of this psalm, perhaps even by heart, certainly the opening line. Why would that be? Well, there is something of beauty and there's something of simplicity. And the illustration of the shepherd and the sheep is so touching. But I'm afraid, and I'm sure it is so, that many more people know this psalm than live this psalm. And I pray and I trust that it may not be so here, beloved, but that many of us, if not all of us, would look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our great shepherd. He is indeed that for us. And if he is our shepherd, if we're trusting in him and following him, then all of the blessings of God mentioned not only in that psalm, but in all of the word are ours. And they're ours through him. Well, I'm sure you all know, boys and girls, that Psalm 23 isn't the only place in the Word of God where we hear about God being our shepherd. And it's our delight and privilege this morning to consider another beautiful part of God's Word, the one we just read a moment ago, that also speaks of the Lord Jesus himself, referring to himself as the great shepherd, as our good shepherd. Now, we're not going to go through the entire passage verse by verse like we often do, but we're going to delight ourselves in just taking certain prominent portions of this passage. And I'm going to try to show through the Word of God how our dear Savior speaks directly to us out of his wonderful name, the Good Shepherd. And when we hear the Word of God, I'm going to try to keep it brief this morning because we not only want to hear about the Good Shepherd, we also want to commune with the Good Shepherd at his table in a few moments. So the passage we're going to confine ourselves to, for the most part, John 10, 1 to 21. Let me just read verses 14 through 16 once more. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus says, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Our theme is my good shepherd. First, his sheep hear his voice. Secondly, his sheep follow him. Third, his life was given for his sheep. Fourth, his sheep are known by him. Fifth, his sheep know him. And finally, his sheep are still being gathered. Now, John 10, by way of brief introduction, is a rather extended discourse by our Lord just after the healing of the man that was born blind. That miracle and its aftermath takes up the entire chapter 9. Now, although in chapter 10 he begins by directing his words about being the good shepherd and the door and so forth, to the leaders with whom he was speaking at the end of the chapter, we can clearly see that chapter 10 is directed really to all of us, to the entire church. It was left on record so that everyone would hear what our Lord has to say about this wonderful name. He takes upon himself a passage that so touchingly refers to the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, as our shepherd. So in the first place, the sheep hear his voice. In this chapter, you'll notice several different terms, and it'd probably be good to start there. He speaks about a door, he speaks about a sheepfold, about a shepherd, about thieves and robbers, about a porter, sheep, pasture, and hirelings. Now, maybe we all know this, but just for the sake of review, a sheepfold is an enclosure. Might be fenced in, might be walled in, but it's an enclosure where the sheep would be kept at night. And it was specifically designed to keep out thieves and robbers and to keep the sheep from being damaged by wild animals. Now, for additional protection, this sheepfold enclosure would generally only have one opening. And from what I understand, the shepherd would often sleep right there, right in the opening, so that anything that tried to get to the sheep, if it didn't climb over the enclosure, would have to come to him first. And you'll notice that the Lord speaks about thieves and robbers. Those are people, he says, who don't come into the sheepfold through the door. They try to climb up some other way and either steal the sheep or damage them in some way. The shepherd is the one, he says, who goes out and comes in through the door. Then he speaks about a porter. This would be a man or someone who would watch the door of the sheepfold when the shepherd was out doing some other task. And the porter would not just let anybody into that safety place, only the shepherd, it says here. Now, the shepherd, of course, is the person who owns the sheep. He is the one who cares for them, or at least is appointed to watch over them. You think of King David, boys and girls, when he was a young man. He was assigned by Jesse, his father, to keep the family sheep. And so the hireling, that's someone else. That isn't a family member. That's not someone who owns the sheep or who is part of the family that owns the sheep. This is just a hired hand, we'd call them today. And the difference is the shepherd cares for the sheep. The hireling cares for his wages. Now, hopefully, if you're working for somebody, maybe on their farm or in their shop, I really hope and pray that you are interested in the welfare of that person, their business, or their farm, that you're not just in it for the money. That's very sad when we're just in it for ourselves. We should really take a personal interest in the interests of the owner or the boss. But Jesus says this hireling, all he cares about is the wages. When trouble comes, first sign of trouble, off he runs, because he really doesn't care what happens to the sheep. He cares more about what happens to him. In verse 3, we read these beautiful words. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Speaking of the shepherd, they have become accustomed, the sheep have, to the shepherd's voice. They know when it's his voice, and we read, he calls them by name. And if you skip down to verse 6 just for a second, notice what is said there. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. The leaders were blind. They couldn't understand what Jesus was conveying. But thanks be to God that our Lord, who often hides spiritual things from the wise and prudent, as we've heard him say, he goes on to reveal these things to us, what he's talking about. And the leaders, they don't understand, probably because the leaders weren't true shepherds themselves. They didn't care for the people. They weren't looking for their spiritual good. They cared about themselves, their position, their prestige, their income. But let's not think about the leaders too much. Let's concentrate on what Jesus says here. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. And I have a simple question this morning. Have you ever heard the voice of Jesus? Now, you may think that's a bit of a strange question. I mean, hear his voice. You know, but we're not talking about dreams or visions or an audible voice from heaven, nothing like that. But still, Jesus' voice can be heard today. Our Lord says that here. He says, all the true sheep hear his voice. And he says, he calls them by name. So he knows you, and he knows you, and he knows you. All who are believers, he calls each one by their own name, individually. So in the mind of the Lord Jesus, to him the church is not just some worldwide massive assembly of people that he deals with in a group. No. He says, I know your name. I speak to you personally. You hear his voice. So the obvious question is how? How do we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus? Well, that should be easy for us if we're a believer. How many times did we, for example, sit under the preaching and you thought for sure the Lord was directing that word just to you? That whatever you were going through, the troubles you were experiencing, the situation you were in, the Word of God was speaking to you, it was coming through powerfully. Doesn't that mean he knows you? Doesn't that mean he's speaking to you through his word and you're hearing not the voice of the preacher? Because the preacher doesn't know what you're going through all the time, but God does. And he directs his word to you. That is the voice of Christ. In that way, how many times haven't we had it where God puts someone in our life, puts someone on our path, directs us to someone, or brings a friend into our life, and they are the voice of Christ to us. They are speaking what we need to hear. They are conveying God's truth to us. That can be the voice of Christ. You think of God's providential leadings. Now, every day, the guidance he gives, the direction he gives, that's the voice of the Savior. And the question comes again, do you know such things? Have you felt the power of God's word to you personally? Have you ever had it where you were melted or moved by the word and the person sitting next to you hearing the exact same words didn't faze them at all? He calls you by name. He comes to you as an individual. He comes to you in your situation. He tailored designs, all these means, so that you would hear his voice calling you by name. Our shepherd speaks to us, beloved, through his word, through the preaching, the voice of Christian friends, providential happenings, the day-to-day things that come into our life. That's his voice. But he not only calls you by name, but he says, you hear him. Yes, not just the Lord is calling me, but you respond. It isn't just a hearing like, okay, I hear it, but I ignore it. No, his sheep hear the voice and they follow. They respond to that voice, and so do we. As believers, when God begins to get our attention, when God begins to zero in on us, when he begins to put things in our way, we hear him and we respond to him. We know that voice. We know that conscience conviction. We know the moving power of the Spirit in our lives. We hear his voice. And there is something so very sweet in knowing that the shepherd calls us by name. He knows where you live. He knows what you're going through. He knows your every circumstance. And he causes us to hear that voice. He opens our ears. He directs our attention. That's the Lord. I must follow. Have you ever had that? Have you ever experienced it? Deep down in your soul, you knew the Lord was addressing you. You knew that the Lord was bringing something into your life you needed at that moment. Have you ever had it like the travelers to Emmaus in Luke 24, where your heart was burning within you as the Word of God was coming to you? Whether at home reading, or at the dinner table with your family, or in the church, or by means of a Christian friend. Have you ever had that? The Word of God tailor-made in that moment for your situation. The sheep hear his voice. He calls them by name. Well, The shepherd is speaking this morning, beloved. He's speaking through his word, and he's also speaking through the sacrament of the Lord's table. He is bidding you, who are believers, in a few moments to come to sit with him, to rest with him, to commune with him. So the Master is here this morning, and he calls for you. In the second place, the sheep follow him. What a precious thought this is. After saying that the sheep hear his voice and he calls them by name, Jesus then says, and he leads them out. And notice this. He says, when he putteth forth his sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they won't follow. He leads them. He goes before them. What a comfort that is. Our good shepherd doesn't stand in the door of the shelter and say, no, go on, sheep, go out there. I'll kind of keep an eye on you. You know, you're on your own now until the night time, and then you can come back to the safety. No, he sends us out, and he goes before us. That means wherever we go, he is there. Now, I know we don't always perceive his presence, but what we're reading in the scriptures is his own word, and we can believe that. It's his own promise. I am going before you. And it's beautiful that Jesus says we won't follow strangers. That's the good shepherd's work too. It isn't because we're so crafty and smart that we can tell his voice and the voice of strangers. No, it's another indication that the shepherd's protecting us. He's giving us the ability to discern the voice of others who would lead us away from safety and into other paths. You could imagine some thief or robber trying to call the sheep to come to them, to leave the fold, to leave the flock, and to take them away. But they won't hear his voice, Jesus says. But that's because the shepherd has trained them. That's because the shepherd has guided them. That's because the shepherd teaches them not to do so. Our shepherd is keeping us. And now, another question. Are you, am I, following the good shepherd? If we are so blessed. And we are so privileged. And we are so cared for. And we are so safe. If you're not following him, if you're not hearing his voice or listening to his voice, is that not sad? To have the opportunity for the Lord of glory to be our shepherd, to lead us, to go before us, to protect us, to speak with us, to guide us with his own voice and not to follow? Does that make sense? And if we don't have the shepherd, we still are sheep. Or perhaps I should say goats. And what happens when there's no shepherd? The sheep go wandering all over the place. They are easy prey for the enemy. Dangers everywhere, and soon they go lost. That will be our experience. Now, finally, notice in that section, he puts forth his sheep. We can't stay in the protective fold all the time. We have to go out into the wide open spaces. Now, the good news is, what's out there? Those are the brooks of water. Those are the green pastures that he leads us into. So it's not like he's sending us out in some barren wasteland to die. And he's there. But mind you, we have to go out into the wilderness. If you were watching some videos about the Middle East and shepherds and sheep, and you know, you think of these lush green lawns, it's nothing like that. There might be a little tuft of grass there, a little bit of something there. They have to go all over the place to find any food. But the shepherd's there. And he knows where the food can be found. The sheep don't know. They just follow him, and he leads them from one place to another place, but it's a wilderness. And that's our experience too as believers, right? It's nice to sit here in church. It's nice to have the fellowship of God's people. It's wonderful to have the sacraments and the word. But then comes Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday back out into the wilderness, but the shepherd's there. Even though he puts us forth to be a light in the world, we're not alone. He's with us. And so we are called to be lights in the world. He puts us in the world. We're lights in the workplace. He puts us in the workplace. We're called to be lights in our family. He puts us there. Everywhere he puts us, it's for his glory. It's to magnify his name. But he's with us. Thirdly, Our shepherd gave his life for the sheep. What we've heard so far, I trust, is precious enough, but this is truly, it brings us right to the heart of what the Lord's Supper is all about. The shepherd gives his voice. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, in natural life, it's just the opposite. The sheep are alive, and if the shepherd doesn't protect us, the sheep die. In spiritual life, by nature, we're all dead. In trespasses and sins, we're spiritually not alive. But because the shepherd gave his life, he gives to us life. In his death, we are given life. And he says, I am come to give them life and to give it more abundantly. So the shepherd dies that the sheep may even live. He lays down his life so that we may have life. And if we come through this door, if we come to God through Jesus Christ, he says, you shall be saved. And we'll find pasture. Meaning we will find food for our souls. It's not just like he gives us a new birth and says, okay, now you're on your own. No, he continues to guide. Remember the psalm, he leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me into green pastures. He restores my soul. And so he provides everything we need for us to flourish spiritually. 2 Peter 1:3, according to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So, as we come to the Lord's Supper in a few moments, just see written across this table, across the elements, the Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. The Good Shepherd died so that we might live. And that is so precious. And then fourthly, his sheep are known by him. 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Now, I must admit, you know, growing up kind of a city boy, it always amazes me, even to this day, you go to a dairy farm or you go to a cattle ranch and the farmers seem to know every one of their cows. I look at them, they all look about the same, maybe a couple more spots, less spots. Oh, that cow over there, that's Charlie. Oh, that heifer over there, that's Daisy. I'm like, okay, I guess so. They know their livestock and they know them by name. That amazes me. But as interesting as that is, how much more precious this is. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. That speaks volumes to our hearts. He knows you. He knows everything about you. And he still loves you. He still loves me. That's the amazing thing. He knows us through and through. More than we know ourselves, and yet he still loves us. That's grace. That's the amazing grace of God's gospel. It's because of the good shepherd that he can. I know you and I continue with you. I know your cares. I know your fears. I know your circumstances. I love you. I am here for you. I will care for you. I will lead you. I will feed you. I will protect you. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet will not I forget thee. That's what Jesus is saying. I will never forget you. I will never leave you. I am with you always. Isaiah 40:11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. That's our shepherd. That's our shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. How personal, how tender, and yet backed behind that tenderness and personal care is omnipotence, almighty. He rules and reigns over all, and yet He deals with us with such tenderness. At the end of verse 14, and am known of mine. He knew us long before we ever existed. He knew us from the fullness of eternity. But in time, He makes sure that we know Him. He makes sure that we hear His voice. He delights in revealing Himself to us. His glory, His love, His justice, His greatness, His mercy, all that He is. And He will continue to do so. He is not done revealing Himself to us. He reveals Himself to us in His Word this morning. He'll reveal Himself to us in the sacrament. He'll continue to reveal Himself throughout our lives. And it just keeps going and getting better. He'll continue to unfold Himself to us throughout all eternity. Am known of mine. His sheep are still being gathered, finally. That's a beautiful, beautiful truth. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. They're still out there. Now, I don't think the Lord is, in fact, I know the Lord's not talking about a church, a local church. He's not talking about a denomination. He might be talking about the Gentiles. Although some of those sheep were already brought in. We heard about that, Ruth and Moab, of Moab, Rahab, the Canaanite and so on, the Ninevites. But certainly this truth is still today, isn't it? There's still other sheep out there He's got to bring in. Other sheep He's going to reveal Himself to. Other persons who are going to become sheep. And what an encouragement that is. We know there is yet room in the sheepfold. There's still plenty of space under the care of the shepherd. If there were no other sheep, the world would end right then. Because Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. So when there's no more sheep to call, when there's no more sheep to gather, when they're all in the sheepfold, the world is over. There's no more purpose for the world to exist. So the fact that we're still here this morning and that glory hasn't arrived means let's go find them. God knows where they are and God will direct His word to them, but let's pray to be a part of that. And maybe some of those sheep who yet have to be gathered are right here in this room. Maybe they're your next door neighbors. Maybe they're the person you're working with. Maybe it's the person you've spoken to 100 times with no visible fruit at all. He says, no, they're out there. I have other sheep, and they shall come. Now, what's really, really beautiful about this, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, listen to this, them also I must bring. I must bring. So, they are given to Him. They are given to Him by His Father, it says in John 17. And He says, they will come. This is really beautiful. When God says, when Jesus says, I must bring them, you can be sure they're going to be brought. And that's a comfort when we reach out to others, family members, sons and daughters, parents, whoever it is. When we reach out to others, we can do that with this confidence. It's not us who have to convince them to become a sheep. We just have to lead them to the shepherd. We just have to tell them about the shepherd. We just have to point them to the blessings of being a sheep under this shepherd. Jesus will take care of everything. I have other sheep. They're mine. And I will bring them. That's a great comfort. They will come. It's one church. It's one shepherd. It's one sheep. He'll take care of them. Other sheep. Now maybe you're sitting here this morning. And you're thinking, I sure wish that was me. After all that I've heard, the little bit that I've heard, I would love to be a follower of this shepherd. I would love to be someone so cared for, someone so spoken to, someone so led and so protected. Well then, this morning. So don't start at the Lord's Supper table. Start right here. Lord, Lord Jesus, Be my shepherd. Lead me. Take control. I'm tired of trying to run my own life. I'm tired of trying to make my own way. It doesn't work. I want to be your sheep. I want to be your part of your fold. Hear his voice. Follow him. Confess, I've been a fool for trying to run my own life. My sins, I can't keep myself that way. I need you. And just remember, he said, I came. The very purpose that he came into this world is to give them life. So you're not asking for something he isn't here for. He's here to give life. And he's not stingy. I give it more abundantly. The Song of Solomon, eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Well, the Lord's Supper is one of those pastures that he will lead us into this morning. Those who are believers and want to eat and drink, not focusing on bread and wine at all, but focusing on what it symbolizes, what it points us to. The shepherd, his sacrifice, his beauty, his glory. And let's enjoy that. So we will close now, at least the preaching part. Now comes the feasting part. Now we sit with the Good Shepherd. Now we are in the little pen. He gives us this Lord's Day morning. And we can be there with the shepherd. There he is sitting at the door of the sheepfold to keep out all the thieves and robbers and all that would trouble you. Leave all your cares behind. Leave your problems for another day. Come to the Good Shepherd's fold this morning. And remember what Jesus said in verse 17 as we remember him in the supper. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. And say, we love you too, Lord Jesus. We love you too. Amen.